In Psalm 119, I'd like to read verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. David asks a tremendous question. It is one of the most important questions that could ever be asked or answered. He says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Youth is a wonderful time. All of life lies open before you. And so many different paths go in different directions from where you stand. Who knows what life has in store for you? What career will you hold? Who will you marry? Where will you live? And yet there is a fundamental question that is more important than the others. And David asked this question before any of that begins. Whatever direction you go, whatever career you hold, whoever you marry, wherever you live, there is a fundamental question that must be answered and must be respected. How can a young man cleanse his way? And this is also an important question for those of us who have contact with young people, for those of us who have the privilege of being parents, trying to teach our children God's way. And so this question and the answer David gives are what I want us to focus on for a few minutes this morning. And I want to warn you, they are deeper than they appear. I want us to think about how the young can secure their heart. I take that phrase, how shall the young secure their hearts, from the song that we sometimes sing and the way the poet has phrased what we find in this verse. The first thing I'd like to say is there are dangers for young people. Look again at verse 9. He says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. David's question implies a need to cleanse our way, a need to be protected, a need to secure our hearts. Why is there a need? Well, that need implies a danger that exists for young people. There are people and events and situations that threaten younger people. They work to harm young people, and God wants us to be aware of those things so that we can be insulated against them. There is an illusion that exists that because young people have less responsibility, they can live free of concern. They don't have anything really to worry about. And that is simply not true. There are real dangers for young people. I'd like for you to leave your marker here in Psalm 119. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 1. Book of Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1, and I'd like to begin in verse 8. Proverbs 1 and verse 8 says this. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. I want you to notice first that Solomon's words here are addressed to a son. They are addressed to younger people, and he takes the tone of a father telling a son, here are some things you need to avoid. We have a picture here of peer pressure. Look at verse 11. If they say, come with us. In verse 14, cast in your lot among us. It's the idea of people pressuring us into doing things we would never otherwise do. In fact, many people wouldn't do these things if they didn't convince you to do them with them. Peer pressure gives a sense of a group doing something, and if someone else is doing it, it just can't be that bad. And so they are saying, let's kill someone. Let's lie in wait to shed innocent blood. Let me suggest to you that perhaps Solomon was speaking from experience. Because Solomon had watched as his own brothers literally murdered one another. Surely he had to hear some of the conspiratorial tones that were going on around him. I know a way we can trick him. I know a way we can get him alone and we can kill him. Solomon, come on. Let's do this together. And Solomon warns, he says, don't walk in the way with them. Verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. It's dangerous. Solomon says, don't listen to them. And perhaps he had been tempted in these very ways. Young people, when older people like Solomon warn you about paths you want to avoid, don't think that they're just trying to boss you around. Usually, when older people give you instructions like that, it's because they've made that mistake themselves. It's because they see a danger you do not. And they're trying to warn you, don't end up like I did. Or perhaps they've seen a host of other young people who have gone in that direction and made a mess of their lives, and they don't want you to be added to that number. They are serious about trying to help you, and that's why they're warning you against these dangers. Look at verse 19 here. He says, so are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner. Things like greed, things like plotting to sin, being pressured into evil, those are real dangers for young people. And Solomon says, it takes away the life of those who have them. It's going to end up in your destruction. You may not see it, you may not believe it, but it will. That means it's a danger for young people. Look in Proverbs 2, chapter 2 of Proverbs, beginning in verse 10. Proverbs 2 and verse 10, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil. We're in Proverbs 2 and verse 12. From the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. There's some danger, Solomon says, I want my son to know about. I want you to know, young people, there are dangers for you. And he lists them. Look in verse 12. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. There are people who will tell you wrong, sinful things. Be careful who you listen to, because some people will destroy you with what they tell you. Listen to God, and not to silver-tongued friends. In verse 16 of this text, he says, to deliver you from the immoral woman. There are women, young men, who will flatter and lie and butter you up. They'll make you feel good about yourself, but they are just using you. And it may be that they're trying to break up your marriage, or it may be that they're trying to feel better about themselves, but they are not interested in you. You might be very tempted and attracted to her, but notice what he says in verse 18. Her house leads down to death. None who go to her return. That's a danger, not just for those who are older. It's a danger for the young man. In fact, let's go over to Proverbs chapter 7. And remember, Solomon had his own problems with women. He is speaking from experience. In Proverbs 7 and verse 7. Let's start actually in verse 6. Proverbs 7 and verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple. I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Solomon goes on to describe how this woman beguiles and entices this young man, leads him into her bedroom, and causes him to sin. In verse 24 of this text, he draws the lesson. Proverbs 7:24. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Does that sound dangerous to you? He pictures this young man walking along as sort of the fly just going toward the web of the spider, not knowing the danger that he's in. And then all of a sudden, it's just too late. It's all over, and that young man is destroyed. There are dangers for young people. Let me take a moment and flesh out other dangers to young people. The average age at which Americans begin drinking regularly is 15.9 years old. The three leading causes of death for 15 to 24-year-olds are automobile crashes, homicides, and suicides, and alcohol is the leading factor in all three. 30% of 8th graders have used illicit drugs, 45% of 10th graders, and 53% of 12th graders. That's more than one in two. This is a number that just blew me away. 8,000 teenagers contract a sexually transmitted disease every day, or almost 3 million a year. Young women who are pregnant because of their promiscuity have a difficult choice to make. Do you have an abortion, which is now becoming increasingly accepted? Do you marry the boy that you had sex with, despite the fact that that might be a disaster? Or do you try to have and raise the child when you're a child yourself? And perhaps you need to drop out of school and try to get a job in order to do that. It's a hard, hard situation. But to look at that and say, well, you're young, it doesn't really matter that much, you don't have a lot of responsibility, is just foolish. There are real dangers for young people. And those are just some of the things. And they don't tell the whole story. They don't tell the story of countless millions of people who are addicted to alcohol and tobacco and drugs because they started when they were young. They don't tell about little children being forced to raise little children, or about the horrifying scene where you have to sit down with your fiancé and say, I have a sexually transmitted disease, perhaps ruin that relationship forever. Yes, there are dangers for young people. And it is appropriate that David asked the question, how can a young man cleanse his way? The choices, young people, that you make at this stage in your life will affect you for the rest of your life. When I was growing up, I had a barber, and that barber was about 65 or 70. And he was a very nice man, but one of the things I remember most about him was when he would cut my hair, I could see on the inside of his arms, he had tattoos on both arms. They were large green tattoos, and I want to suggest to you, he didn't go get those last week. They were something he did when he was young. And the evidence of those things is still on him, even though he's much older now. I'm not bringing that up to talk about tattoos. I want to show you that the things that you think are so cool and so important right now aren't always going to be. And when you're that age, if you're lucky enough to reach that age, will you have deep regrets, like that man does, I know because I've spoken to him about it. Will you have deep regrets about the things you've chosen to do right now that will haunt you for the rest of your life? So you can begin now setting out on a good course and a good direction, or you can ruin your life without ever really beginning it. There are dangers for young people. Be careful. Let's go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and read with me again verse 9. Psalm 119:9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. The second thing I'd like to say is, God expects young people to remain clean. There is a desire, there is a need, there is even an expectation of cleansing. We can cleanse our path, cleanse our way. It can be exactly what it should be, even when we're young. That is what God expects of young people. Not only young people, but in this text, especially young people. There is a mentality that exists in our world today that says there's just too much evil today for young people. We can't really expect young people to come out of their youth clean. We can't really expect them not to indulge in all of the things that are offered to them today. In fact, it seems to me that older generations contribute to that mentality. Perhaps they don't mean to, but when they lament how bad things are these days, it leaves a young person with the feeling of, how could I possibly not do some of this evil? What I'm saying this morning is that even though God knows all the evil that is in the world, He still expects young people to remain clean. And for that reason, I say it is still possible for young people to remain clean. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Just over a few pages here from the book of Psalms. Ecclesiastes 12, and I'd like to read in verse 1 here. It says, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. He says, remember your Creator now, in the days of your youth. Now, today, think about God. Pledge to follow God. Give your life to God. Worry about spiritual things now. And notice why. Look again at the verbs. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in. It will be harder later. And the crafty lie of the devil is, you can do it later. You can worry about your spiritual life later. You can be a good boy or girl later. And God says, no, you need to do it now because later it's going to be much harder. The difficult days are coming. Times are coming when you might not have the energy or the ability or even the desire to remember your Creator. So remember Him now, He says, while you still can. There's an element of urgency in this verse. Don't wait to serve God. God expects young people to be clean. Go up a few verses in this text to Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9. Chapter 11 and verse 9 says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. You should be enjoyed, and there are some wonderful things about you. That's what Solomon is pointing out. He says, rejoice in your youth. Enjoy it. But one of the wonderful aspects of youth is not, you can just do whatever you want and there is no penalty. He says, just know that whatever you do, God is going to bring you into judgment. You will give an account, even if you are young, when you do those things. For those of us who are older, if we did things when we were younger that we should not have done, we will give an account for those things, even though we might have grown past them. And for those who are young now, you might do things you should not do. God will bring you into judgment for those things. You need to be cleansed if you have sinned before God. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4. passage we began with last night, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Paul says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity." So Paul is giving Timothy, here are some instructions as to how you can be a good, effective preacher. What does he say to him? Does he say, "Oh, Timothy, you're too young. Don't worry about it." Or, "Timothy, you just do the best you can, and hopefully the people there will just get by." He says, "Let no one despise your youth." Don't give anyone a just cause to say something negative about your youth, the fact that you are young. Don't let anyone say the reason he is not what he should be is because he's so young. In fact, he tells Timothy, if you look at the verse again, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example." Yes, young people, you can be an example. You can be perhaps what other Christians are not. You can be clean, and people should not despise your youth. God expects young people to remain clean. Turn a few pages to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Appreciate you following along. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. 2 Timothy 2:22, "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Flee youthful lusts. Keep clean. Youthful lusts are those passions, those desires that especially appeal to the young. And he says those struggles, those temptations, you need to flee. Run away from. Keep away as best you can. Keep your path clean. Because again, God expects young people to remain clean. Now let me tell you what that's going to require. It's going to require a real commitment to doing what's right. Young people, you're not going to remain clean just because you get a little older. Just because time passes, you're going to have to make a choice. I'm not going to be like the people around me. I'm not going to be like the people I see in school who are not what they should be. I'm not going to do the things they do. I'm not going to talk the way they talk. I'm going to make a conscious choice to remain clean. Go with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to show you someone who made that choice. Hebrews chapter 11. This is verse 24. Hebrews 11 and verse 24 says, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." This keeping ourselves clean is going to require doing what Moses did. What Moses did was to choose something and to refuse something. Look again at verse 24. It says, "When he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." You have to refuse, young people, the sin, the temptation, the pleasure that is offered to you. And if Moses, who in this text is a young man, if Moses can say, "I'm going to give up the money and the comfort of living as the son of the king's daughter. I'm going to give that up and suffer affliction with a bunch of slaves." Then we can give up the momentary pleasure of this sin or that sin. Now we have to have a little vision. We have to be able to see what Moses saw, that the pleasures of sin, he says in verse 25, were passing. Or in verse 26 it says, "esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt." We have to have a little perspective to say, you know, it's much more important that I live a life pleasing to God than that I'm happy for a few minutes here or there. We have to have the kind of determination to refuse what's wrong and to choose what's right, even though what's wrong is going to be more appealing and more exciting to us and everyone else is doing. And yet still, God calls to young people. He does not say, young people, just do what you want, certainly when you get the time. He says, young people, you should remain clean. You should be what I'm expecting you to be, even though you're young. Young people, God expects you to refuse what is evil because it's evil. And He expects you to choose what's good because it's good. So do what's right. Remain clean. There might be some small difficulty that you have to go to because you've chosen what's good. But it is worth it. Moses shows us it is worth it. Remember Daniel. We talked about Daniel on Friday night. Daniel was a young man captive in a foreign land. And yet the Scripture says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies nor with the wine which he drank. Young man, concerned about being clean. And why did he do that? Because he had purposed in his heart. He made the choice, I'm not going to do this. Rest of the world may be doing it, all my friends may do it, I don't have anybody here to stand with me, but I'm not going to do it. The world's myth says, sow your wild oats. God says, stay clean. God expects young people to remain clean. Let's go back to Psalm 119. And read with me again the text that we are deriving our lesson from. Psalm 119 and verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. How do we do this? How do we avoid the danger and remain clean? He says the Bible is the answer. And I'd like to say that the Bible is for young people too. David insists that is the way we can be clean, by taking heed according to the Word of God. Now it takes that purpose of heart, that fundamental decision that says, I'm going to do what's right. But if that decision doesn't have the backing of God's Word, then it's not really a decision at all about what's right. The Bible is not just for those who are older. It is for young people too. I want to show you a series of passages here. The first shows us that God expected His Word to be taught to children too. This is Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Why did God want His Word to be taught to children? Well, it's because children can understand and learn and choose to follow God's Word. The Bible is for young people. And when God commanded His people to assemble, He wanted the little ones there too. Look in Joshua 8 and verse 35. It says, there was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. Why did God want those little ones to be there? Well, for one, He wanted them to see this is what older people do. We need to be studying and learning from the Word of God. It needs to be read to us. We need to be caring about it. But He wanted the young people to know it too. And in Nehemiah 8 and verse 2, we talked about this Friday night. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Here are young people. Can they hear with understanding? Then bring them in. Do they understand? Bring them in. I want all of these people, God says, to hear my word. Yes, you can hear and understand the word of God even if you're young. The Bible is for the young person too. And it is the only way that young people can cleanse their way. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 says a little bit about this idea of understanding. In Ephesians 5 and verse 17, Paul writes, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We can understand the Bible. Now, certainly we're not going to be able to understand every part of every word and what every context might hold. But we can understand the Bible well enough to know it and to obey it. Even young people can understand the Bible well enough to use it to insulate themselves against sin. Go with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. This is what David prescribes as the way to protect ourselves against sin. We need God's Word. We need to take heed to it, and that will cleanse our way. In 2 Timothy 3, I want to begin reading in verse 14. 2 Timothy 3:14, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Timothy had good teachers. He had a mother and a grandmother who taught him the Bible from childhood. The Bible can be understood by young people. And when it is taught to young people, it forms an essential foundation for everything that happens for the rest of their lives. So Timothy could look back to what he already knew from childhood that God had said. And he could see that it was confirmed in Jesus. Now think about that. Look again at verse 15. "That from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So when Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him about the Old Testament as he was growing up, when Timothy heard about Jesus, it was a no-brainer. Timothy could say, "That's exactly everything I've learned my whole life." And he said, "I'm going to be a disciple." Not only did he become a disciple, he became a preacher of the gospel. He became one of the most important people in the New Testament because he had a foundation of the Bible. Let me tell you what that means. It means that you can understand the Bible and live like you should. It means the promises of the Bible were made to you too. It means you also must obey if you want to go to heaven. You, young people, older people, can cleanse your way by following the Bible. Let me put a little more to that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Be a little more practical in that. 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." When you are in those tempting situations and you want to do things you know that are wrong, this goes for young people as well. God gives you some promises. First, he says the temptation is not more than you can handle. No temptation is beyond what you are able, he says. God is not going to allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. But the second promise is, at the end of the verse, with the temptation he will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear. God will provide you a way to escape the situation. You wouldn't know that if you hadn't read the Bible. But now that we've read it in the Bible, you young people can know there is always a way out. I don't ever have to sin. It's never too strong. My peers never pressure me too much. I can always escape the situation if I'm seeking God's way out. That promise is for you too, young people. The Bible and its promises are for all of us. I want to go real quickly to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and I'll show you just in a practical way how the Bible helps us in times of temptation. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read about Jesus being tempted here and the way Jesus responded to those temptations. Matthew 4 and verse 3 says, "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Notice how Jesus answers the temptation with Scripture. He says, "Satan, that sounds fine. I'd like some bread. I'm really hungry. Been fasting 40 days. But there are some passages. There is the Bible that has something to say about this. Man shall not live by bread alone." Look down in verse 6. The devil took him to the holy city and put him on the pinnacle of the temple. Verse 6, he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "It is written again, 'You shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" Here comes the devil, and he even has some Bible behind him. He's quoting from the Psalms, and he says, "You should do this. God promised to protect you." And Jesus says, "Well, that might be nice, devil, but there's something else God has said. It is written again. Don't test God. If I jump off this temple and say, 'God save me,' I'm testing God." And so Jesus used Scripture to refute the devil. And then finally, in verse 9, he said to him, "All these things, the kingdoms of the world and all their glory, I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" Jesus refuted temptation with Scripture. Do you see how the Bible helped him not to sin? Jesus knew the Word. And in a time of trouble, in a time of temptation, that knowledge kept him from sinning. What if Jesus hadn't known? Here comes the devil saying, "Make these stones into bread." Jesus didn't know the Bible? Sure. Would have ended up sinning. Or he just jumps off the temple. After all, the devil quoted some Bible to him. Surely, that's good enough. Jumps off the temple and he sins. Do you see the problem here? If we don't know what God has said, we're going to end up doing things He's told us not to do. We need the Bible. Young people need the Bible to help in times of temptation, to give us strength and courage to choose the right way and refuse the wrong way. So young people, don't be afraid to tell other people, "This is why I'm not going to do what you're asking me to do. This is why I'm not going with you. This is why I don't do that. This is why that's never going to happen." Be like Jesus. Use the Bible to tell the devil to go away. So how can the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. There are dangers for young people, and yet God expects young people to remain clean, and He has given us the Bible to help them do that. Youth is a wonderful time, and it is full of exciting possibilities. But young people need to be thinking about the question, how do I do what's right? Am I sure I'm pursuing the things of God? God expects you to, and He has given you the tool you need to do that in His Word. I urge you, young people, keep studying, keep learning, and keep following the Lord. But the cleansing also has to do with being rid of sin. And so young people, too, are guilty of sin and need to be clean. And the way you can do that is by having the blood of Christ to cleanse you from your sin. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Paul says there we have to believe and we have to be baptized. And when we believe and are baptized, we become sons and daughters of God, and we put on Christ. If you're ready to do that this morning, ready to come because you believe in Jesus and turn away from sin, confess that faith, and to be baptized into Christ, we stand ready to assist you as we stand and sing to encourage you.